Luke's my dad in the office. Okay, so just turn to the person next to you and tell him, this is an aeroplane. Okay? And this aeroplane is, it's called the revelation of God's Father heart. Okay, and then you do this. Come, Manuel, come stand up here. And then you do this. And just see how God lands this plane in your heart. Oh. Come on, Aiden, do that. Okay, then the next question that you ask the person next to you is, "Wie ist your Papa?" Do you know what that means, Raj? Who is your daddy? Okay, so we're going to talk about who's our daddy. Okay. Who's our daddy? So why would you think of all the titles that God could have chosen for himself? All the titles. Like he has an infinite brain. Some of you need to learn how to tap into that while you write exams. There's infinity in his brain. It's huge. It's big. It's humongous. Okay? And then he chooses this title for himself. I am a father. Why would he choose that? Just quickly chat to the person next to you. Why would he choose that? Why would he choose the title of father for himself? Okay, let's get a couple of answers. What did you say, Aiden? Pardon? Leadership, great. He's a leader, okay. What did your group over there? Mrs. Rhino, what did you say? Miss Rhino? Okay, great. That's awesome. Craig? You want to become a father one day? Get married first, Greg. Okay. He wants to be a father to us. Great. That's an awesome one. Okay. Okay. So let's keep that in mind. Okay. For all the titles that in relation to us, he wants to be our father. Okay, but we have a problem because we call God our Father, but we also call someone else our Father. And that other person is a mere human being. And he, with our mom's help, conceived us. And we got born into this world. And he is imperfect, and he's just a human being. So now what happens is God's like, I'm a father, but this person is also a father. And he gives the responsibility to this person to say, let's call him Craig. Craig, you need to represent me to your children as a father, so that they will be able to make the connection between who I am through just seeing who you are and how you represent me. That's why it's so difficult sometimes for us to say, and if you've ever done counseling, you've probably come across this. No, I can't call God. It's just difficult for me to call God Father. I'll relate to him as God. Not his father. My father was useless. He was a failure. He didn't do this. He didn't watch my rugby games. Whatever. So what happened? This person called Craig. Craig's going to be amazing. He messed up. But he not only messed up, his responsibility and his calling to be a good dad to Renee. It's a little awkward, eh? To Luke, he also messed up the picture that Luke was supposed to have of a father. And tonight, I want to, by the grace of God, I want to challenge that picture. And I want to give you a new picture to replace that picture with, so that you can know God for who He really is. Those of you, who of you are a dad in here? Jade, you're okay, funny. Yes, okay, maybe even you're a dad here. Don't be shy about that, eh? Don't be shy about that. We're going to talk about that. This should actually be a community of people who are sitting here and you've messed up, you've made many mistakes, and you should be able to come in here and like, wow, just the grace of God just draws me closer to God and draws me closer to me. Okay, funny, you're a dad. And I know, funny, that's also, we've talked about this. Like, we just feel the responsibility just to represent Jesus and God in such a way that our kids will fall in love not only with who we are, because we want them to love us. I love it that this thing that I play with my daughter is like, Eva, wat 'n dag is dit vandag? What day is it today? And we started doing it on a Friday. So she said, nee papa, dis Vrydag. So in Afrikaans, vry is vry. Do you know what vry is, eh? So then I kiss her like, mwah, 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 mwah. And then later in the day, I was the same thing. And then, mwah, 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 later in the day. And then on Saturday, she's like, no, it's not Friday anymore. And then on Sunday, this morning, I woke her up again and said, hey, Eva, what day is today? And she said, no, I don't know. She said, okay. And I said, don't worry, Eva, I won't kiss you. And it's not, because it's not Friday. And she said, papa, but I want that. I want that. I'm like, wow, that's so cute. Eh? My daughter wants my love. So yes, we want to be loved, but we also know that it's a responsibility. We need to represent God, especially in the beginning, because they don't see God, but they see me. They see me. Okay. But many of us, that person that was supposed to represent God the Father, he didn't represent him very well. Like my dad was, he was a good, 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 awesome dad. But he, in ways, misrepresented God because he's just mere human. I forgive him for that. Nobody's perfect. Like, don't put your dad on a pedestal and say he's perfect, because he's never. That's why eventually that dad should represent God in such a way that Luke here will say, hey, Craig, Dad, I want to meet with a God that you are following. And like, wow, okay, so now, oh, that's the picture of God. Not this, that's the picture of who God is. And that's what we want to get to tonight. We want to see God. We want to see God as a father. So it's quickly want to show you two photos that really challenged me. Okay. Two pictures of two dads. It's a refugee crisis in Europe at the moment. Because of ISIS, all the people in Syria are moving out. They're taking boats across the Mediterranean. I think on the right, that was in Greece. They just came off a boat. And that's in Germany, I think, where a guy's selling pens to support his family. And then somebody got hold of it on social media. They started posting that they, for donations for him, and I think 75,000 euros they got together for him. So that's amazing. But for me, that's a picture of a dad. And it's a picture of a dad that represents God very well. And I was just, when I was looking at it, I remember that, you know, the photo of the baby that was lying there on the shore, if you saw it, like, I couldn't look at that, because I saw my little son lying there. And it was, God, no, this can't happen. We need to do something. And At the end of the month, Eric's going to go over to Greece just to see, because we want to get involved there. As a church, we need to get involved in it. And there's another group that's going to Sri Lanka, and there's a whole different ball game, but it's also difficult. And things, Jade's over there is actually going to Sri Lanka. Okay, but now back to the picture. That's a dad, and that's a dad, and they are representing God. But that's not maybe how you saw your dad. Your dad maybe never taken you into his shoulders or cried before you or showed any emotion or maybe even didn't tell you that he loves you and he's proud of you. But God says he wants to change that tonight. Okay. And we're gonna go after that tonight. Okay. So let's go to a scripture that we all know very well. Luke 15. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible. Jesus tells three stories, and three of them are about ends in parties. Jesus was into parties. The Jews were into festivals. And it's not like a festival, Otonikwa Marki kind of thing. It's a proper festival. Day in, day out. Okay. Jesus loved parties. Yesterday I was walking into church here, and there were 15 teenagers dancing around, just throwing a party. I'm like, this would not have gone off very well in my dad's church in the Ingekerk. Not at all. Saturday night before a church service. Okay, so we're going to read Luke 15. It's about the prodigal son. But we're going to change that. We say this is about the wonderful father. Because what we usually do, we look at the sin. We're not looking at how God responds to sin. This story is about the wonderful Father. Okay, let's read it together. You can read it up there also. Okay. But I love it when you bring your Bible. And he said, Jesus, there was a man who had two sons. So this guy had a family, two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Okay, so what happened? This youngest son, he's like, oh, I love my dad, but I love his possessions more. I want my inheritance. And in Jewish culture, you were actually only supposed to get your inheritance when your dad dies. So what was he actually saying? See, he's like, hey, dad, I love the relationship, but it would be better off for you to die so that I can get my inheritance because I'm after your credit card. And I'm after your farm, and I'm after whatever. I'm just after your possessions. So what is the son doing? He's saying, hey, not relationship, but possessions. Okay. Then 13, not many days later, the son gathered all he had. And the great thing about this father, because it's a wonderful father, he's like, the son is asking me, and I'm going to give it to him. And then it's difficult to understand this if you think that God is just a God that's only going to give you what you need. Okay, if you've ever heard that you're not allowed to pray for stuff that you want, you're only allowed to pray for stuff that you need, if you've heard that, okay? But it's actually nonsense, okay? And we're gonna get to that. Behind that door is a yellow bicycle. I've told this story before, but I had a mountain bike when we were cycling on the road with other guys, and I said, God, I'm not going to do missionary work with this, but I want a road bike, because I want to be as fast as those other guys. I'm competitive. I want to beat them. And the next week, somebody walked into my residence telling me, on that Wednesday, the same Wednesday that I prayed, he said God told him to give his bike to me. So, and then God just, this is who I am. I want to know you so well that I want to grant, and I want to be in a relationship with you in such an intense desire to be in a relationship with you that I even grant just your wishes. Psalm 37 verse 4, it says that if you just very, if I paraphrase, if you're intimate with God, he will take the desires and realize those desires. Okay, so this dad just gives it to the son. And he gives it everything. Split it between two, and then he gives it. Not many days later, the son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and he squandered his property in reckless living. So, what did this guy do? He gets the best, but then he goes out and he just squanders everything. He's like, wow, I'm just going to live the life. And some of us, I went through that phase, I know. I just wanted to, like, rebel. Just want to go out there, do my own thing. Think not of washing the dishes for my dad or mowing the lawn or whatever. Not that I mowed the lawn because I was too lazy in high school. But I just wanted to get out there and do my own thing. And just because I had a relationship with God, I just felt, I can't do this. And because I really felt my dad love, I wouldn't be able to handle the kind of pain that I will have put my mom through. I just didn't do it. But I wanted to do it. It was on my heart. So the selfish thing then told him, hey, you go away. So what happens? The moment you start thinking of gimme, 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 and it's just all about yourself and your inheritance and what you can get from God, eventually what will you lose? You will lose your relationship with God. You'll get out of his, not only out of his sight, but you will lose that very special relationship with God. And I think that's such an important thing for us, because God can. He wants to satisfy our desires. He wants to give us the ability to pray for people that they will raise from dead, and the ability to pray for people so they will experience breakthrough in their business or family life or relationships. But that's not the thing we need to be after. The thing that we need to be after is the dad, not what he can give to us. Okay, so he's getting further and further away from his dad. And then verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. If you are selfish and you're only looking out for your own desires and you just gimme, 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 and mine, 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 like Finding Nemo, like those, we just watched it this afternoon again, I see you, mine, mine. You remember that, eh? You, okay. Mine, mine. Okay. So, and what happens? If you're selfish, you will always end up in lack. Nobody tells you this. If you're selfish and you're just after your own thing, you want to seek your own just ambitions, you're just going after your own thing, you will always end up in lack. And not only that, the area that you have influence over, a famine will arise. Like if you speak to people that are selfish in marriages, or like marriages that are destroyed, they usually say, hey, no, my wife's selfish, my dad's so selfish, hey, the kid is so selfish, they're just selfish. What happens? There's no intimacy, yes. So there's distance between the person that's selfish and the person that wants to love. But not only that, there's a lack in that relationship. There's a lack in that family. Hey, oh, my dad just went for it. He wanted to do his own thing. He was building his own kingdom. Da, 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 da. Okay, so verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Just the irony of the story. I think when Jesus told the story, the people started laughing. Because in the Jew culture, they hate. Pigs are abomination. They are bad things. So now this son, he ends up with the pigs. He is right there with them. And he wants to eat their parts. It's not only that he's with them, they are better off than him. And this morning I said it's like sending a South African to Australia. That's the irony. Just so bad. You can't think of the worst thing to happen to you, huh? Where's Clive and Amore? They're not here, man. Okay, Clive's going to Australia. Okay, so he's really having it bad. And then verse 17, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So some of you need to end up there in the pigsty. Some of us, and that's, some of you were there, like in the pigsty. Wow, I actually have a dad. Some of you need to do that with your earthly dad. I actually have a dad. And he actually is, maybe he's not the best representation of where dad should be, but I actually have a dad. I need to go back. I need to go and repent. I need to go and just be one of his slaves on his farm or on wherever and what he is doing, running a shop or something. Or just come back to God. Say, hey, God, I'm just so bad in this situation. And then it says, I love it, he comes to his senses. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he came to a place of humility. And then I quickly want, can you two, there's something there in the passage over there that you need to come and take, bring here out as a prop. Tubi, can you help judge? Roz, you're too slow, eh? You're missing out on the blessing. Hey, don't squander the inheritance. Okay, this is a cake. It cost me 100 rand. If you ever want to, Tanya makes cakes very, very cheap. She won't make it that cheap for you. Probably just blessing the church, whatever. Okay, so this is a cake. And this is, it's depicting the story that we're reading now. Okay, so year over year, we have the guy. He is smelling the pigs. He's here in the pig style. Okay. And here's the dad. And we're going to read about the dad now in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. So he's walking back. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Okay. This is one of those moments about who God is. Okay. Let's put it in our context. Okay, this guy's doing drugs. He took his dad's credit card and he just went wild with it. It was parties, prostitutes. He was living in wilderness. He's a hippie. His hair, he's filthy. He's just completely lost his mind. He has been a disgrace to his family. On Facebook, he posts stuff about God, that he hates his dad and he hates his mom. This guy just, he's a complete disgrace to his family name. Because he's a Jew and he's living with the pigs. That is the worst thing that can happen to a son in a Jewish family. What happens? He walks back. The father runs to him, embraces him, and kisses him, and tells him, hey, I'm putting up a show. Don't let anybody know. I actually hate you for this. No, he doesn't tell him that. No, he runs to him, he embraces him, and he kisses him. And then verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. Like, it's the best. The best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, represents authority, Nerone, and shoes on his feet representing destiny, and bring the fattened calf representing an amazing party, and kill it. So they're not eating, they're not into eating animals alive. They kill it. I love it. Thanks for the detail, Jesus. And let us eat, so they eat it, and celebrate. For this, my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found, and they began to celebrate. So this is if you have a picture of God being an angry father, like he's not, you're actually doing quite well, you're not doing drugs, you're not posting anti-God and anti-family stuff on Facebook, and you're actually trying to read your Bible, and you just feel that God's still angry with you, this must blow your mind. And that's what I'm hoping it does. It must blow your mind of who God is. God's literally saying, I'm going to tell you a story about the worst thing that can happen to a son and the worst things that he can do, and I'm going to show you how I will react if you're in that position. So if this is the worst thing that's worst place that a son can ever be in, anything being the worst, little, not as worse, just maybe smoking one cigarette once a month, or maybe you're just irritated with your dad, or maybe you don't do quiet times 3 times a day, or maybe you only pray 15 minutes, or you only go to church twice on a Sunday. I don't know where you're at, but you feel so guilty, and you feel it just so... God is so angry with you because you're not giving it all. God's telling you that if you come back like walking back, he's going to run to you and he's going to kiss you. It's going to be a little awkward. He's going to run to you and he's going to kiss you. He's going to embrace you. He's going to love you. And he's going to tell his servants to come quickly because this son that you've all seen the Facebook posts about, that this whole community just feels that they just want to stay away from this family. We're going to throw a party for this son. And then he does it. He throws the biggest party. It's the fattened calf. It's like the calf that they save for the big festival. He does it. It must blow your mind. It must blow our minds that we are serving such an amazing and awesome and loving and good God. We can't exaggerate God's goodness. We can't do it. You're going to think, God is better than good. Oh, no, it's still better than that. Okay, so tonight I want us to get to a place where you come home. Like a few Sundays ago, I was preparing my sermon. I just felt, I didn't do enough, or I didn't pray enough. And I felt like I was taking a shower late at night on the Saturday. I came out of the shower, and I just felt God telling me, hey, I'm going to give you a prep talk now. I'm going to take you. And I felt like God taking me and just telling me, you're going to do it. You're going to go for it. You're going to deliver that sermon. You're going to be amazing. Da-da-da. He just gave it to me. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. As a son, you want that. I did wrestling when I was younger. Who of you like wrestling in those funny suits, eh? And it was such a good experience for me as a guy to fight another guy. I still love it. There's something in us, we want to fight, eh? And God, he actually made us in that we're on a battle, and it's a spiritual battle, and we need to battle. Okay, so I'm standing there, and then my coach is behind me, and he's rubbing my shoulders. He's like, okay, Amo, you're going to do this. You're going to beat this guy. Look at him. Da-da-da, whatever. And just constantly reminding me of who I am and how he thinks about me, and that is God. That's what God's doing. Okay, so how do you come home? I want all of us to come home. We're all going to come home tonight. We're going to be like, we're going to get to that party. We want to get to that party. Okay, God's, like some of us have this idea like, Jesus is amazing because he actually died on the cross. But wait until dad comes home. Like, who of you have ever heard those words from your mom? Okay, watch it. Wait until dad comes home. And what is she saying? She's saying that when dad comes home, you're going to get it. He's going to sort you out. So this guy tells a story. His wife phones him, say, this teenage daughter, she's just out of control. And he hears, and she told him that she told the teenage daughter that, I told her, wait until dad comes home. So he's just thinking, okay, he needs to represent God. What can he do? Okay, he walks in the door, and she doesn't want to look him in the eye. Because he's here to sort it out. Because wait until dad comes home, and he says, hey, don't you want to go for a swim? And they actually went for a swim, and he says, he took her back into the house, and she was just showering or doing whatever, and he hears her sing song, I've got joy, 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 joy in my heart. And he's like, boom. Repentance right there. Yes, and he had a hot talk with her and told her what happened, but she was so much more willing to receive from her because she experienced the goodness. And that's what the Bible said, Romans 2, verse 4. It says, it's the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Some of us are like, yeah, but what about judgment? What about the Old Testament? And what about, you know, all of us have more respect for somebody that's loving than for somebody that's just rude and in your face and just want to force himself. That's not who God is. It's never been. It's never been. And especially now that we see that Jesus are. So how do you come home? You come to your senses. So maybe you just, in a small way, you're not there yet. In a small way. Maybe in a big way, you're not there yet. Maybe you're not saved tonight. Maybe you don't know Jesus. You've never made that commitment. But you come to your senses. What is coming to your senses? It means that you come to, God is so much better than I've ever thought him to be. And hopefully there would be someone in your life that represent that God is so much better than you ever thought him to be. Like a friend or a pastor or teacher or somebody you know. He's so much better. So you can't. Okay, I'm in this area, but I know God. I know. I'm coming to my senses. I'm trying to do this on my own. I can't do it on my own. I need this God. So you come to your senses. The second one is you confess your sins. This is what the guy did. He's like, he came to his senses in the pigsty. He's like, with the pigs. Comes to his senses. My dad, he will take me back. And then as he walks back, he's like, oh, I sinned against God and I sinned against my father. So what happened? He came to his senses of the goodness of God, who God is, that God loves us. And he confessed his sins. And the third one, this is very difficult, is you need to forgive your parents for where they did wrong. You need to forgive them. Okay? Because most of them just didn't know they were wrong. Some of them knew it. Some of them just didn't know. You need to forgive your parents. We're gonna during worship tonight, I want you just to maybe go on your knees and say, God, I repent my, or go to a friend after this, say, God, I forgive my dad for not showing up at my sports games, for never telling me that he loves me. And you need to say it out loud. Just say, God. Like, my dad was a good dad, and I told my dad at varsity, I had to forgive him for not phoning me enough when I was at varsity. I told him, and I had to forgive him for that. And he was a great dad. Okay, forgive your parents, even if you had, and live in this lifestyle of forgiveness. Some of you, you're still young, your parents are going to do stuff to you just like, I don't think that's from God. Just forgive them. God says, I'm not here to disciple my parents. Yes, you can have a massive impact, but you can't take responsibility for them. You can pray for them and you can bring them to church or whatever. But your main responsibility is to pray for them, to support them, to submit to them, and to really just forgive them if they're wrong. And then what happens then is you get to my where Fonny and I am, and like, I'm just going to forgive my parents because I know my kids need to forgive me. And the Bible is very clear on this. If you're going to forgive, you actually help other people to forgive you also, and God to forgive you, if you live in this lifestyle of forgiveness. Fourth one is see your dad's house as a source of life, of love. You need to see that God is the source of love. He is the source of love. So when you need love or affection, don't run to your computer screen or to some guy that you want to date or perform to a place so that somebody can tell you, "Wow, you're amazing. You can do maths or you can do science or you can play the music instrument," even if it's in church. Don't run to that. Run to your dad, God, and say, "God, you're a source of love." Okay, and the fifth one is expect the Father's embrace. See your dad like this Maliki over here. Can you lom sini so? Okay, I loved how they did this. Eh? This guy's, his arms are twice the size of him. Okay, it's huge. So he's just standing there, just waiting for his son to come home. And you need to expect that. You need to expect that. Expect the Father's embrace, because that's a picture of who God is. And some people think, yeah, but now I've sinned and I've done all of this. But it's especially in those times that God is so longing for you to come back so that he can give his embrace. Especially in those times. Don't be like Adam and Eve. What happened? They ran away. First they hit themselves with fig leaves and then they ran away. Tried to hide from God. If you just look objectively at that, that's so stupid. To hide from God. He's everywhere and you're trying to hide from him. Where's our saint? Where's our intellect? We're sometimes so stupid as human beings. Okay. Go back to the Father's, and then actually go back to the Father's presence. Go back to your dad's presence. And what helps me is just to not call God a father, but to call him a dad. And not to call him, hey, the dad or the father, would you maybe show me some love? No. I sit on my bed and I say, in Afrikaans, I do it, "Papa, show me yourself. Papa, I need some love tonight. Papa, I need some encouragement. Papa, I want to fight. Tell me how you feel. Give me that prep talk again. That pep talk again. Just give it to me." And it's like, "Daddy, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I know maybe it doesn't feel to me that I love you that much, but I know my spirit loves you." Romans 8 speaks of, we've received the spirit of adoption. Now, if you're spirit of adoption, it's like when I was younger and I read that scripture, I think of, yes, that it's an adopted child and it's not a proper child. But no, if God adopts you, then you adopt it. It means that you get the same blood. He does it. He injects you with his blood. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He does it properly. And there's a party for that. Okay, so a guy who tells a story, who actually gave these 6 points, is Jack Frost. 18 years old, comes to his house, his dad's house, long hair, hippie guy. His dad pushes him down on the table, the kitchen table, and cuts off all his hair. He ran away, didn't want to see his dad, because obviously he hated his dad for doing that. What did his dad do? His dad forced himself upon. Love is never forced. Even if you feel that you have the right to do it, love is never forced. Don't do it. Even if you're a Christian, you know that guy, he needs to get saved. You just force yourself upon him. No, never do that. Okay, so for 3 years, or for 2 years, don't know how long, his dad just pursuing him, visiting the commune that he is staying in with all the hippies, smoking weed, and his dad knows what he's doing. But but never, he doesn't want to talk to his dad. And then his dad gets a phone call. He had OD, OD on LSD, and he is in the hospital, and he's barely alive. And this guy, Jack Frost, he tells a story. He says he's lying in this coma, and he's just experiencing hearing his dad. His dad doesn't even know that he can hear his dad. For the first time ever in his life, 1920, I can't remember how old he was. Yes, for the first time in his life, he hears his dad saying, "I love you. Everything's going to be fine. I love you. Everything's going to be fine." For the first time in his life, and he says it changes him. It changes him that a dad that's not even properly a Christian can do that. How much more a God that is loving, he is love. How much more? Okay, I want to call up the worship band and just tell you a last story, and then we're gonna worship a bit. It's probably one of my favorite stories. Tony Campolo. He's at a seminar in Hawaii. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he goes out and to a donut shop, buys something, and three prostitutes march in. Okay, we're going to show a video before you guys play. So three prostitutes marching, and they started talking, and he hears a conversation. This one girl, it's actually a birthday the following day. And he's like, I need to get this girl a cake and throw her a birthday party. So he talks to the owner of the shop. They say, yes, let's go for it. And in the next morning, 3 o'clock, he rocks up there. And apparently they've told all the prostitutes, so there's a whole bunch of prostitutes in this tiny little shop. And they have balloons, and there's a cake and everything. So this girl, whose birthday it is, rocks up, and they're like, "Surprise! Happy birthday!" Da, da, da. And they hand her the cake. And she takes the cake, and she just walks out. And he's like, "Oh, what happened?" She says, "Can I take it home?" She says, "Yes, you can take it home." She never comes back. And then they started praying for this girl. He says he had an intercession meeting with a bunch of prostitutes, and it was just amazing. Everybody just praying for this girl to get saved and have a revelation of who God is and how God loves her. And then, as he's praying and they finish up, and the owner of the shop comes to him, "Hey, Mr. Preacher Man, I didn't know you were a preacher man. What church do you go to?" And he says, it just came out in the right way. He says, "I go to the church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes 3 o'clock in the morning." And that is the church of our Father, that not only throws birthday parties for prostitutes, but for all of us. Maybe you feel useless, you feel weak, you don't have destiny, you don't have a plan of your life, your mom keeps on telling you that or whatever. He throws a party for you when you respond and come back. And he has everything on that table. He's not going to talk detail first, but he first wants to show you who he is. And then he's going to talk to you and say, "Hey, I've placed this in you. You're good at that. Dream with me. Hey, there's another friend. He's also very good at that. Maybe just you two dream together." Okay, we're going to watch a video quickly.
I saw the look in his eyes. He was searching for a prize, worthy of his strength, worthy of his life. In a world full of shiny things, hope that he'd see his name burning bright up high in the city night. And that's when he came to me. "Father, won't you give me what is due to me? I gotta go now. Time for me to get out of this small town. Time for me to live my life, my way, my dreams. It's my right. I know that I gotta dance with the city and own the night. Gotta find someone pretty and toast the wine. Gotta live for the moment, gotta get what's mine. I gotta live for the moment, I gotta shine. I stood right beside him, watched him pack his things. Watched him walk out the door with his hopes and dreams. I pray my best prayer for him every night I sleep. I pray my best prayer for him, yet my soul it weeps. Day after day and week after week, I can still hear his laugh and I can still hear him speak. I remember the day that I had a son. I remember our joy and I remember our fun. Weeks turn to months and months turn to years. The hope of my thoughts now consider the fear. Wonder if he's doing well. Maybe he's found a girl. Maybe he got stuck in jail. Maybe he's been shot and killed. I don't know, but I'd give all that I own just to hold my son again. The tears and the blood that I spent, the nails in my hands and my wrists, to cover the sin and the pain that you're in, to give you my peace that you might love to repent. I place a kiss on his cheek and a crown on his head, just to know that my son's not dead. And if you spent all your gold and you're lost and you're cold, just come home. Just come home. Come home. Just come home.
I want you to maybe just be a little selfish tonight, okay? So you're just going to focus on yourself, and you're going to make right with God. You're going to say, God, I didn't know that this is who you are, but I know that you are running towards me, and you are calling my name. And you're telling me to come home. So maybe it's the first time that you're going to lift up your hands. Maybe it's the first time that you're going to kneel down. Maybe it's the first time you're just going to weep. Maybe it's the first time that you're going to have a smile on your face when you think of God. Because wait until Dad comes home is actually a good thing. You are his happy thought. Lord, and I just, Holy Spirit, I open up this meeting is for you to move and to show us who God the Father really is, God. Lord, and even for myself, Lord, I want you to touch me intimately and deeply tonight. In the name of Jesus. feel God is saying that he wants to tell people who they are. And that's what a dad does. He's like, you are not useless. No, this is who you are. You are not filthy and ugly and fat. You are beautiful and you are amazing. So if you've never heard those words from your dad, you've never heard God speak those words over you, we're going to stand proxy for God, and we're going to speak it over you. If you're a man, we're going to say, you are strong and you are courageous. You are born to destroy the devil. Like, if you want to just come forward, we want to pray for you. Just respond. He's just standing out with his arms wide open, and he just want to tell you who you are. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I feel there are more people, but you just, there's somebody here and you're just so afraid. If you're going to walk down here, you're just going to burst out in tears. You're just so afraid that people are going to see you weak because you had to be strong because your dad was never there for you. And God's just calling you forward. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm just going to pray for Jay, if you'll join me, and Monica, if you can just pray with me. Okay, we want to prophetically also just speak into their lives and just whatever God's telling you, just speak it. Be bold, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And if you're sitting there at the back, and maybe you have a very good relationship with your dad, that is amazing. That is really amazing. And just go on doing that. I want you, if you feel that you have a word for somebody else, a word of encouragement, a word just to tell them whatever God's telling them, God never exposes people. He only encourages people and he builds them up and edifies people. So if you feel that you want to share that with somebody, just pray maybe, because we're not like the youngest sons. We're not out there only for ourselves. We want to go out there for other people. Okay, so I just want to open up that opportunity for you to share. Let's all stand quickly. If you're busy, that's fine. We love it that you're busy. Okay, what you heard tonight is, it's not something for the head, it's something for the heart. Okay, who of you feel like, yes, you sort of grasping it, but it's not there yet? Like, that's where I'm at. I'm like, yes, I know God, you're so good, you're just running towards me all the time, even though I fail, but I just can't, I need the impartation from your Holy Spirit here in my heart. Who of you feel like that? Cool. Okay, so we're just going to pray a short prayer. We're going to all pray together. In Romans 8, Paul says that he has given us the spirit of adoption. Okay, we're just going to ask for that. Okay, so let's just pray this prayer after me. Say, thank you, Jesus. Pray it out loud. Thank you, Jesus, that you have saved me. And that I'm a son in the house. And God, I ask that you give me a revelation of this sonship and how much you love me. Lord, I ask that you give me the spirit of adoption that makes me a son, a co-heir with Christ. And Lord, thank you that I will go out from this building and I tell people about your goodness and I'll show your goodness to them because I can't help it because you're just so good and you live in me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, give somebody a hug. And then tell them we're going to eat the cake there at the back. Okay, but the cow is my little son. He wants the cow, okay?